Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
Welcome, Fred. We've got a lot to cover.
Yeah, we do. And boy, Bob, I thought it was great. The last 2 Real Science Fridays, you had Dr. Jonathan Witt.
Wow.
I mean, he's one of the foremost experts in intelligent design.
Yeah, what an honor it was to interview him on his book, Intelligent Design Uncensored, with William Dembski.
Who's that?
These guys are among the world's leading thinkers right now, and evolutionists and atheists everywhere are attacking them. So it was just a great thing for Real Science Friday to have. What a neat interview.
What a great interview to land.
Well, super. And then we have news coming up just over a week from now, Fred. A movie is going to hit the DVD market. And this is fun because it's a movie that deals with one of the icons in America of the evolution creation debate, and that's the Scopes Monkey Trial.
That's right.
It's a remake.
And the movie's called Alleged. It's a remake of
Alleged. It's not really a remake of Inherit the Wind, but it's in the same genre.
It's a telling of the story in a much more accurate fashion.
Way more accurate based on the actual trial transcripts and what really transpired. The Hollywood movie is a complete fabrication.
It is. It really is. And this movie's got some great actors in it, too. Brian Dennehy and some guy that ran for president.
Yeah, that's right. Fred Thompson.
Fred Thompson.
Yeah, and those guys are obviously, they're very well-known actors and actresses are in this movie. And it comes from a biblical creationist perspective.
Yeah, this is exciting. The story is going to be told in the proper framework, in a factual framework.
Yeah, so Brian Dennehy, the cast includes Dennehy, who's from Rambo and a dozen other major movies. You said Fred Thompson from Law & Order. He ran for president. He's a former U.S. senator from Tennessee, and that's where the Scopes Monkey Trial took place in Tennessee. And it had not only the whole state, but the whole country and even much of the world in an uproar through the controversy. And it's called the trial of the century by legal historians. Even when they take the OJ trial into account, the Scopes Monkey trial was bigger.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Brian Dennehy plays William Jennings Bryan, right?
That's right. In fact, on Broadway, he played the opposite role. He played the ACLU attorney.
Clarence Darrow.
That's right. And so a lot of interest in this movie is being generated. Nathan West plays a lead, a reporter who's being turned toward the dark side, along with H.L. Mencken, who's played by a Star Trek longtime actor, Colm Meaney.
Yeah, from the Star Trek New Generation.
Right. And Nathan West, I hadn't heard about him previously, but he's married to the gal who's Dr. Gray on Grey's Anatomy, and he's been in some interesting movies. And then there's Ashley Johnson, who is in the current hit movie, The Help. So it's got an all-star cast, and it's from a Christian biblical creationist perspective, except that it's true to the actual transcript and historical events, so that when what we would call the bad guys, the evolutionists, atheists, when they do something good, the movie portrays them as doing something good.
That's right.
Whereas Hollywood does not do that, Inherit the Wind. Their bias.
Complete fabrication, that movie
taints the entire movie. Well, and the world thinks Inherit the Wind is the true story.
That's right. Yeah. And I have to thank you, Bob, for letting me be part of a private screening we had of this movie. It was excellent. It was before the final editing had occurred, so there were still
not only the plot of the movie, but the scientific accuracy and so, which you were great at providing input. And so, Fred, it's a fun movie. It's a great movie. Now, it cost millions of dollars to go to the theaters for an independent film. I know that Ben Stein's movie, Expelled, and the pro-life movie, Bella, they were in the theaters, but it literally cost millions of dollars, typically, to get an independent movie into the theaters, and typically, they don't make that money back. And so this movie, alleged, I think, is being very wise in a release straight to DVD, hopefully on cable TV, with a great movie that I highly recommend.
And again, when is the release date?
November 8th.
All right.
Look for them in a red box near you, or Netflix. Yeah. or however you get DVDs. Okay, so Fred, what stories, what are we up to?
Well, let's see. We're going to talk about an Eskimo and his family today that were unfortunately not treated very well. They were put in zoos.
Put in zoos as animal exhibits by Darwinists, an atheist.
Yep.
Yeah, just despicable.
Yeah, and then
including the Bronx Zoo and others. But
yeah,
all right.
And then Noah's Arks.
Noah's Arks.
Arks, you know, like Noah had an assortment of tasers.
Yeah.
Or is it?
Wait, I thought it was one ark.
Oh, one ark. Okay.
So you're saying we're going to talk about multiple arks? Okay, that'll be interesting. And what else?
Okay, and then what dinosaur protein? Have we ever talked on that subject before, Bob?
Oh, yeah, about soft tissue from dinosaurs.
That's right. We have an update on that.
An update. That'll be fun. Is that it?
If we have time, we should talk about that earthquake in Japan and the assumptions made on that.
Because it was so powerful, more than the old Earth geologists thought was possible, because that part of the crust was 140 million years old, you know.
And that's right.
It shouldn't have any large earthquakes, and has a 9.0.
A 9.0.
Okay. And all the tragedy that led to. All right. So why don't we start with the soft tissue from the dinosaurs? Because, Fred, this is an update. P.Z. Myers, one of the world's leading evolutionists, attacked us, you and me, Real Science Friday, and our Trochlea challenge to him in the soft tissue carbon-14 dating dinosaurs. And he mocked Real Science Friday in his blog about 4 weeks ago. We linked to that. And he said that the soft tissue T-Rex was biofilm, that it's not original to the dinosaur, but they've been finding original biological material everywhere, in a hadrosaur, in a mosasaur, in an archaeopteryx, and this is sore and that sore, and they're finding it everywhere, but P.C. Myers is still clinging to, oh, it's biofilm, that is, it's a later contamination, maybe from bacteria or something. It just can't be from a dinosaur. That's too old.
They seem to really like to cling on to things that are really out of vogue now. The biofilm argument is pretty much gone, but he hasn't been given the memo yet.
Well, I think so. They're a couple years out of date, which is how we responded to him on his P.Z. Myers blog. So, Fred, the latest is that scientists from 10 universities and institutions from the U.S. and Europe, leading institutions, have verified that the protein in dinosaur bone is primordial.
So this isn't from Front Range or Arapahoe Community College?
No, and if it was, Western I'd still State. Say it's valid to look at their work.
But these are 10 leading universities, right?
Leading
Harvard, is that one of them?
Harvard Medical School. And over in England, the University of Manchester, University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, North Carolina State.
Yeah, on and on. And so now scientists from 10 universities got together and formed a team to analyze this biological material in fossils that are supposed to be 60, 70, 150 million years old. And they said, you know what? Here's what we determined. This is not from contamination. This is original biological material from the dinosaur. This is dinosaur.
It's dinosaur, and it's supposed to be 80 million years old.
It's supposed to be.
And they know that it can't be.
Well, there's a lot of backlash, right?
Oh,
there are a lot of scientists who don't want to believe this.
That's right. In fact, from PhysOrg, it says, although the team had previously presented multiple lines of evidence supporting the veracity of the find, The fact that the age of the peptides far exceeds any previous predictions of how long a protein could resist degradation has generated controversy.
So controversy, yeah, because they're saying, look, even though we've been showing that this is original biological material, we've been doing the tests, sophisticated tests, it's original, but the evolutionists, which these are evolutionists, that's why their find is so significant. These are evolutionists, but they simply can't, the other evolutionists who haven't been doing the work, they can't believe that it could be original because proteins from Egyptian mummies break down in thousands of years and then they're gone. You're not going to have these amino acid chains because they're too complex and just atomic and molecular vibrations, they're all going to be gone. And yet here they are. So this is an interesting confirmation of the creationist worldview, because when the original announcements came that they found soft tissue in dinosaurs, all the creationists said, yeah, that's very believable because they're not millions of years old. They're just thousands of years old. And the evolutionists all took a fit and they're still taking fits.
Yeah. And then they mentioned this in Discover magazine, you know, that creation magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that a creation? Maybe that's not a creation.
Discover is at the mother load of evolutionary dogma.
And it was real interesting. The title of the article that talked about this said that Dr. Schweitzer, who discovered the first bone with this material in it, that she erased the line between the past and the present. Mm. Wow, what an admission from
Dr. Mary Schweitzer.
And she even quoted a scientist. She asked him, well, what would convince you of this evidence? Because he'd already told her he didn't believe it. She asked him, what would convince you? He said, nothing would.
Nothing.
His mind is made up despite
would.
The facts.
Nothing would. Let's talk about the actual test that they did now. They did something called X-ray diffraction modeling. To understand it, you have to understand a little bit about proteins. And proteins are a sequence of amino acids. So amino acids form the fundamental building blocks of life, like in DNA and in proteins. Each different amino acid, there's four kinds that are used, and they're linked up in a chain in a certain order. And because of the order, they could be folded in certain ways. And if they're folded in the right way, then they become a machine or a raw material that could be used by a living organism. One of those proteins is called collagen, and a large percentage of the human body is collagen.
Yeah, 25%.
One-fourth of us, of our physical us, is collagen.
It holds us together.
That's right. That's what holds the body together. So when you look at collagen, it has an interesting shape to it. Proteins are three-dimensional. They're machines. And so the shape of collagen, a collagen protein, is we know the double helix is like a ladder that's twisted to a spiral staircase. Well, collagen has a third rail. So it has three instead of two. So it's a triple helix. And then, Fred, not only is it a triple helix, like a strong rope is bound with threads and woven, well, then it's got another layer around it, almost like we would design a sheath for extra strength, and that's a collagen protein.
Mm-hmm.
So
very strong and flexible.
Exactly, and we've talked about that, how vital that is, right, for our bones.
That's right.
Otherwise, they'd break. They'd be so brittle. So what they did was they used X-ray diffraction modeling, and they looked at modern collagen, and they looked at the structure of it. And they said, you know what? The amino acid sequences in the middle of the protein, they would be the most highly protected, more so than like the sheath on the outside. And so here's what we think would last the longest. And then they looked at the biological material, not rock in the fossil, mm-hmm. in the dinosaur bone, but the biological material. And sure enough, it had the same structure. So not only was it consistent with what they've said in the past, that this has the structure of the original biological material, but it's the same part of the protein that you would expect that would last the longest. And bacteria doesn't create these kinds of structures.
Yeah. What a confirmation. So it sounds like it wasn't biofilm.
It's not so biofilm.
Has anybody updated PZ Myers yet?
Biofilm.
We need to start sending him the memos.
Biofilm at 11. PZ, biofilm at 11, tune in. So, yeah, exactly. this is fun. But you know what the team did, Fred? Of course, they're older Darwinists. They're just saying, well, golly, you know, it could survive for 65 million years. But they pulled a fast one. It's a sleight of hand. They did a trick. They lied. They said that, well, we have provided hard evidence that these proteins can survive for millions of years.
Oh, wow.
That was a trick. That was a lie. That's not what they did. What they did was they looked at which part of the protein would survive for the longest, which part of the protein is inherently the most well protected. That's what they did.
Yeah. Boy, evolution is always playing these kind of games, illusions.
It sounds
like almost reasoning in a circle.
Yeah. Yeah. So even though the evolutionary world couldn't believe it, that dinosaur protein could survive, lo and behold, it's surviving.
Well, their theories like collagen is so elastic, they try to adapt it to any possible scenario. This really falsifies evolution. They make evolution so it's so malleable. I like what Walter Remine said. It's like how fog adapts to a landscape.
Yeah.
That's the way evolution is. Any evidence that you present, they set it up where it can't be falsifiable.
It can't be falsifiable. No matter how much evidence against the theory their own evolutionists document, it simply is pliable enough that it just conforms to the new evidence so that it's never falsifiable. If we found a living dinosaur today, they're supposed to be extinct for 65 million years, that wouldn't falsify anything. Wouldn't you know, they just survived somewhere in Botswana.
Some niche survived in some small population somewhere. They've got an explanation for
everything. Yeah, and like the Willamy pine.
And like a coelacanth that they found in a fishing market.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, and so many living fossils that collapse the tens of millions of years that supposedly they were extinct. And obviously they were not.
I wonder when they found that fish, if they lifted it up and says, hey, where's the legs on this fish?
Yeah, right.
That they thought existed.
Yeah. So, Fred, that's a great update on the soft tissue T-Rex story.
Yeah, so again, the theme of that is 10 universities now have confirmed that it's really the original protein. It's not biofilm, Easy Myers.
Right, exactly. All right, so what do we go to next?
You want to talk about Noah's Arks?
Noah's Arks. Wait a minute. Now, I have it on good authority that Noah only built one ark.
One ark. Well, now there's arks popping up everywhere in the world.
There really are, aren't there?
There are. You know, they've got that full-size one in Hong Kong. We've talked about that one before. What a witness that is. You get off the airplane, and you're going to walk right by this ark.
Yeah, it is really exciting, and it's right by the water, and it's like 95% full-size. Because of zoning, they couldn't make it the full-size. It's run by Christians. It's got a hotel, restaurants, evangelistic efforts in Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong.
Atheistic Hong Kong, of all places. So praise God for that.
Yeah, and then, Answers in Genesis is building an ark in Kentucky, you know, because all the water and problems they have there, they need an ark.
That's right. At a theme park where they'll be preaching the gospel.
And that's going to be a
full-size ark. And then, Fred, remember the guy in Holland who created a half-size ark, Johan Huybers. We've talked about his ark. And what's great about his ark is that it floats.
Yeah, wasn't that a big motorboat?
It's a floating half-size ark that he's been using to preach the gospel. And a significant percentage of the people from Holland, I think it's 1/8 of the population, has gone to visit the ark. And they hear the gospel in atheistic evolutionary Europe. It is so thrilling. And then also in Europe, Fred, they're building arks where they've got funding or they've already acquired the land. In Germany and in Romania, they're doing it. In Heidelberg, Germany.
Yeah, they're popping up everywhere. Hey, and this ark you just mentioned in Holland, he's building another ark, right? He's upsizing it. He's upgrading it.
He's not only upgrading it. Full size.
There's going to be a club section, suites.
Scheduled to launch now. I mean, as we speak, it's probably launched. And this is Johan Huybers. And this is one big arc, Fred. It's 450 feet long, approximately the length of the original Noah's Ark.
And when we talk about how they're building full size arcs, they're using dimensions found in the Bible. And, you know, ship architects, I know there's some renowned ones from South Korea. They've modeled the ark using the exact dimensions from the Bible. And that ark just sank like a rock, right?
No, it was wonderfully stable and efficient.
Built perfectly for stability.
Oh, just so great.
They amplified the tsunami that occurred, you know, several years ago by like 5 times the amount in energy, and they still couldn't capsize this boat.
Wow. And so the current full-size ark that Johan has built required 12,000 pine trees.
Wow.
From Switzerland.
I lived in Black Forest, Colorado for a while. That's probably all of Black Forest.
Right. The whole city. Switzerland now is just flat.
It's flat. It's Kansas.
Right. It's eroding. So 12,000 pine trees to make one full-sized Noah's Ark. This guy is a construction entrepreneur, and there are Christians in Texas, Galveston, who are begging him to bring the Ark there, to sail it there, and he's wondered if England would invite him to bring the Ark for the Olympics.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
And so we'll see what happens with Johan Heiber's full-size Ark. But by the way, this article that we are referring to comes from the current Creation magazine, and Creation is just extraordinary. Just like Answers in Genesis magazine, Answers is extraordinary. Just like Walt Brown's book In the Beginning is extraordinary. But this is the October to December, the fall issue of Creation, and what a great magazine.
Yeah, you can get this magazine at creation.com. What a great URL. Mm-hmm. And that's the Creation Ministries International.
Yeah, super. All right, so we talked about the 10 universities confirming the original dinosaur protein has survived, and that came from Creation Matters, that's published by
the Creation Research Society.
Right, you're their official webmaster.
That's right.
Official?
Not official, unofficial.
Well, you're the webmaster of the official website. You must be the official webmaster. And so, Fred, yeah, they publish a great newsletter, and this is the August 2011 newsletter. And so, okay, so we've got Noah's Ark, full-size, sailable, it floats, launching, and we've got dinosaur protein being original. And so then what are we up to?
Well, we were going to talk about the Eskimo and his family that the Darwinists put in the zoo. Can you believe that?
Yeah, what a tragic story. Now, Christians have been aware of the story of Oda Benga. Now, he was a pygmy taken from his home in Africa back in 1904, and he was brought to the Bronx Zoo. You know, a friend of Real Science Friday in New York City, Josh Craddock, he's done research there about this case when they took an African and they treated him like an animal, and throngs of people came. And so now Creation Magazine introduces us to another person who, with his family, he was treated like an animal and put in zoos.
Yeah, his name is Abraham Ulrichab, I believe is how you pronounce that.
Yeah.
There were two families that totaled 8 people that they brought and put into a zoos.
Yeah, and this is interesting because Abraham was a Christian Inuit. We call them Inuits. And they were from Canada, I think up north in Newfoundland, in Labrador, in fact. And this Norwegian trader named Adrian Jacobson, he had already made a fortune in 1877 exhibiting Inuits from Greenland. And he would take them, put them in cages in zoos, and more people would come to see these Darwinian ancestors to Homo sapiens. More people would come to see them than to see lions and giraffes.
That's amazing.
And the crowds are the ones that were uncivilized, not these native peoples.
Yeah, he was well-spoken, eloquent. He was a classy guy. I guess they kind of went along with it, right, at first, because they got paid to do this.
Well, here's what happened in Abraham's case. The Danish government told this Norwegian trader, you can't do this anymore with these people from Greenland. We're not going to allow it. So instead, he goes to Canada, up north, in Labrador. And he goes to this area where Christians had been working as missionaries for a long time. And the missionary said, no, you're not going to take these people and exhibit them like animals in a zoo. That's immoral. They're made in God's image. You're not taking them. So the Christians fought against it. Well, one guy, Abraham, who was young and married and he was adventurous, this guy, the trader, the Norwegian trader, said, well, I'll pay you to be a translator. So he said, well, let's go to where the Christian missionaries haven't been to. And actually, they went to a settlement where they had rejected Christianity. And so he succeeded in convincing this young family with their teenage daughter to come with him.
So that was from that tribe that didn't accept Christ.
Exactly.
But he was a Christian.
Exactly. Then he got Abraham to get his wife and kids and to go with them for a scientific expedition, only it turned out that was a lie. They were going to be exhibited like animals in zoos in Europe, in Germany, and elsewhere. And Fred, the only reason we know about this extraordinary story is because Abraham was eloquent. He had been taught, along with the others in his tribe, to read and write.
So he kept a diary, didn't he?
He kept a diary, and what a story. And it turns out that Jacobson, the Norwegian trader, failed to immunize these 8 Inuits against smallpox.
Yeah, so they all died of smallpox.
They all did in a short time. It was only within about less than 2 months. And the first one who died was the teenage daughter of this other couple and her mother. They died. And within about a month, this is 1880, 1881, they were all dead. And Abraham's wife, she was 24 years old. She was the last to die. And his diary is so extraordinary, how he documents what happened to them and how they long to go back to see their family. And Fred, could you quote for us what he wrote, just one of his extraordinary lines?
Yeah, sure. I do not long for earthly possessions, but this is what I long for, to see my relatives again who are over there, to talk to them of the name of God as long as I live.
Yeah.
So, to go through what they went through and then to keep his faith like he did right to the end, you know, and they suffered at the end.
Yeah.
And he still kept his faith in God.
So the evolutionist wanted these people to be animals. That's what they wanted. Their worldview was they were probably animals and their language was primitive. Turns out after 150 years of study, there's no such thing as a primitive human language. No such thing. Darwin was wrong on that, as he was wrong about barks and grunts becoming language. Yeah. All the world's leading linguists acknowledge he was wrong on those two claims. So they wanted them to be animals, and they treated them like animals, whereas the Christians elevated them and taught them to read and write. And Abraham, in his diary, describes how the crowds, he couldn't get over the crowds, and how the crowds were unruly. They were rude. The crowds behaved like animals.
Yeah, the crowds did. And he did talk about that. Large crowds that were rowdy and, you know, uncivilized. Isn't that ironic? The one that they're looking at him as this uncivilized, evolving creature.
Right.
And who's acting like that? It's the crowds who are acting like
that. It's the crowds.
That.
And it's the Darwinist.
The unruly, uncivilized.
And it's the Darwinist crowds in Europe who believe the just so story. So, wow, that's the story of Abraham Ulrichab and his family and friends, and the story of Ada Benga. And, Fred, it turns out that for a period of about 1870 to 1940, many, many, many natives from around the world were featured in zoos where they brought way more people to come than to see the animals. And, by the way, this was even recently documented at a meeting of scholars in Minneapolis back in June 2001, a neglected aspect of Western racism and attributed directly to Darwinism, like so much, like in Australia and Germany and around the world.
Yeah.
So we're out of time, Fred. No time for Japan.
No time for Japan?
No, I don't think so. But we've got things coming up. The movie Alleged is coming out November 8th on DVD. It's being distributed by a major distributor, and so hopefully, Lord willing, Alleged will begin to set the historical record straight about what really happened. So there's the music, Fred. Thanks for another Real Science Friday.
Thanks for having me, Bob. Look forward to next week.
Yeah, it was fun. And put it on your calendar, Alleged, coming out the movie on the 8th, November 8th, and Netflix or wherever you get DVDs. It should be available. And tune in again for Real Science Friday and online, realsciencefriday.com. May God bless you.
Have you heard of the little church that could? Join Pastor Bob Benyart at Denver Bible Church for Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., worship service from 10:50 until noon, and our Sunday evening Bible study at 6 p.m. Located at Two Roads School at 7180 Oak Street in Arvada, Colorado. Join us on Sundays as we study the meat of the Word of God, to worship our awesome Creator and to equip the saints for the service of the Lord.